Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, it's Friday, baby. Friday!
Casual Friday.
I can't believe I dressed up. Look how nicely I dressed for you, Eric. What am I thinking? Look how nice I am today.
Yeah.
See these nice clothes?
Came straight from the Sears catalog shoot.
That's right, baby.
1982?
It's Mervin's. Thank you very much. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go!
We got a show for you today because
we
had interviews today with Michael Malone. Haven't seen him in forever. Jamal Murray. Bruce Brown, who the only guy that brought a little spice today was Bruce Brown. So we have some good notes from that. We'll talk a little Boston Celtics Miami Heat, which is now going to game six. Oh, my God. Should we be worried?
I'm a
Should we
nervous.
Be concerned?
A little
You'll
nervous.
Notice that Brendan Vogt not here today. Is he ducking the show?
Oh,
is that what's
That's
happening?
A good point.
We don't know.
He went in too hard.
But he really. If he F's this up for us because he brought bad karma,
Listen,
oh my
it's
God.
Not off the table. It's most assuredly damn. Not off the table.
And then, of course, we have some mailbag stuff that we're going to get to. But first, let me introduce our esteemed panel over here. The fastest riser in all of NBA media, Harrison Wynn.
What, other than you?
No. I'm saying, man, this is, you're getting called out. You have to go battle.
Yeah. You know, I'll come on any podcast. Well, any national podcast.
There you go. And then over there, the man with the designs, it's D-Line Co.
That's me, the guy with the designs.
Nobody is. He really is a true Denver Nugget because you can't compliment him without him finding the slight in it.
Yeah.
Like I say, there's the genius. Well, I'm more than a genius, Adam. I'm also.
Why isn't anybody talking about my shirts?
D-Line.
What's up, guys? Good to see you.
There it is. Before we get into some of these other topics here, I want to start actually with you, Harrison.
Yeah.
Because we are in this weird moment, man. Like, we've been doing this. We're banging the drum. We've been doing the Denver Nuggets rally since the salad days. You know what? We really have. Since nobody was paying attention. Now everybody's paying attention. But you got called out a little bit for going hard in the paint, perhaps, last night on one Christopher Mannix.
Yeah.
he saw the clip. It made its rounds to him, and he reached out. How'd that go?
Yeah, I went on Chris Mannix's show this morning.
Well, but start with the call. So he sees the tweet, clearly it is.
Yeah, I called him lazy for his for his take that the Nuggets are not interesting. And he DM'd me, and I went on his show this morning. I think it's on YouTube now, and we had a way more cordial conversation than he did with the folks at Altitude.
Yeah.
But yeah. We had like a good 20-minute chat about why I think the Nuggets are interesting and deserve coverage.
Did you convince him?
No, I don't think so.
So did he really? I mean, I haven't seen the video yet, but did he really dig in?
He didn't really dig in. He was just kind of lobbing questions at me. But I think his perspective is that the Nuggets don't get a lot of coverage because there are a lot of other, trivial NBA storylines that were going on over the second half of the season. I can see what he's saying, but of course I disagree with it. And then I was just kind of listening off. Why I think the Nuggets are interesting.
Right.
Nikola Jokic, second round pick, back-to-back MVP, pretty interesting. The Jamal Murray story, the Michael Porter Jr. story. But it was a good conversation. And then he said he wants to come to the bar. So we'll see him at the DNVR bar.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. Although I am a little bummed, to be honest, that he didn't say, I misspoke. Or, there's so many ways to get out of that and be like, I was on the cuff. I don't mean they're not interesting. I just mean you almost scuff it off. I think they're interesting, but my producers say.
I mean, what he went to was that NBA viewers and listeners and readers don't want to talk about the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's the freaking problem. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's the problem with the NBA. Imagine in the NFL.
No, it's impossible to
if,
imagine.
Like, the Nuggets could be like the Buffalo Bills, you know?
This is the thing.
Imagine that.
This is the thing. Like, all of these guys act like they are... They're like prisoners of their own making. The NBA... And the trajectory of the NBA was such that it was not a popular sport until Michael Jordan made it a popular sport. And then they now believe the only way to keep people's attention is through focusing on superstars. And then by focusing on superstars, you then get to the point of widening the audience, which means focusing on narratives, people that aren't paying attention to the actual game, not interested in the game itself. They focus on the narratives. And so for him to say, like, there are no interesting narratives, it's because... You have not created that. You are in the business of creating narratives if you are in the media, specifically if you're in the media for the NBA, because that's the way it's talked about. You have the power to talk about how interesting it is that Nikola Jokic came from a part of the world that you've never heard before and he's achieved these great heights. You are able to talk about how it's interesting that the Denver Nuggets have come back after reaching seemingly the pinnacle of making it to the Western Conference Finals and then losing all of their mojo because Jamal Murray went back, and this redemption tale of them finding their way back to the top is extremely interesting. There's so many things that you could talk about, but you just don't know them. It's just like they just have hoped and prayed that the Nuggets would not get to this place because they don't know anything about them because they've never paid attention.
But I think you could even forgive him, Eric, if these types of people came to approach the scenario with, I'm excited to get to learn the narratives.
Sure.
And, you know, like, maybe we haven't covered them enough for this or that, but I'm excited to find out what the interesting stories are instead of just write it off and say,
yeah, just say the idea that, first off, when people explain that the Nuggets are boring or something, you're like, one of the highest scoring offenses of all time is boring to you. What is interesting to you?
Nikola Jokic is the least boring player.
Yeah, like what is it? Like, it's interesting to you to watch what? Like an aging superstar sort of embarrass himself on a national stage? That's interesting to you? Like,
you know who's like one of my, I don't want to say heroes because it's not that, but somebody I really admire was Anthony Bourdain, a chef, right? What did he love? Food. And the way the intersection of food and culture. So
also the story.
But what I'm saying is, so he could go to different places and he would even start his show sometimes being like, I don't really like the cuisine of such and such place. Like, you'd start with that. That's not my style. I don't like this thing. And then 5 minutes into an episode, you just hear the passion. He found the commonality. He's like, well, but I do love culinary arts. I do love culture. I do love travel. And so even if I don't like the specific food I've exposed to, I'm going to take you on a journey. And to me, this is what NBA media at its best should be. I don't like this Denver Nuggets team. Okay, that's fine. A weird take to have, but that's fine. But I can't. But I do love basketball. And I do know that there's going to be stories that reveal themselves to me throughout my investigation of this team and everything else. And if you have a passion enough about just basketball in general, the best team of this year is an interesting story inherently.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that Harrison mentioned the other day is that when these media, the media illiterati come through and they like learn about the Nuggets, they fall in love with them.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
true.
Because it's just
everyone.
Yum McSoup.
There are just so many things that are just very endearing about this squad because they are so unlike everybody else around the league. It's just the NBA is just so embedded with ESPN, and ESPN has, because it is owned by Disney, just as you start to watch like the evolution or de-evolution of ESPN to turn more and more sensationalist and more like daily talk show format, the NBA is now caught in that riptide and they cannot pry free. And so like now they're going to start looking at each other like, oh no, like what do we do?
No, exactly. Because the sense I've gotten is that the NBA is very unprepared for the Denver Nuggets to be in the finals.
Yes.
They're very unprepared.
Go further, though. They might be unprepared for the era. Because I think that's the thing. If it was a one-off, I think there is something to be like, flash in the pan team. Like, all right, it's going to be weird. But I think everybody's looking at this going, these guys look like they might have staying power.
And that's why you're seeing, and I even talked about this with Mannix, that's why you're going to see the altitude Comcast, like Comcasting, that's going to get brought up again. Because that's a very storyline to latch onto if you haven't been boots on the ground with this team. Like the 1,000-foot view storylines, you're going to hear a lot. And one other thing that I talked about with Mannix, and one of his points about why the Nuggets don't get the coverage that they should, he said is because Nikola Jokic does not grant the access and the one-on-one interviews that a lot of other superstars do. Yeah. First off, that is true. He doesn't give you the access that a Steph Curry or a Giannis would if you fly out to do a feature. But the other side of that is like,
who cares?
We've had no problem telling the Nikola Jokic story over the last several years because we've put in the work, and he hasn't granted us any one-on-one exclusive interviews. We've put in the work. We've done the behind-the-scenes stuff. We've gotten the background on him. We flew to Serbia to do a documentary on him. We've had no issue learning about Nikola Jokic and why he's the way he is and how he plays the game. If you actually want to put in the work, you can tell any story that you really want to.
Well, Bruce Brown gave us a story today. So at Denver Nuggets media availability, they did have practice, he revealed, that they actually practiced today,
they
didn't announce it as... Usually they'll say practice with availability after. They just called this media availability. So they practiced today. The thing that... I'm going to start with this. I'm going to let you kind of lead the notes here, Harrison, but I want to start with this one because I had actually heard... The Nuggets signed Bruce Brown on day two, and I'd actually heard that this was a... It wasn't necessarily a master plan. I heard that there was some things about the parade going on, and maybe the Nuggets had to like drag their feet a little bit because the avalanche, and there was just so much going on that the Nuggets had, you know, this or that. But I had actually heard there was Bruce was available on day two for a reason. It wasn't necessarily just holding out for Denver. And today he said, nobody wanted me. There was a rumor that all these teams wanted to me, but the truth is nobody wanted me. And I was just sitting there thinking, is nobody going to sign me? And then Denver comes along and offers him this deal. This is a different story than we've been told.
Yeah.
D-line. We've been told a story that, you know, Bruce, all these teams would want, who wouldn't want him on the team? It sounds like he was sort of just the guy that was left. Does it change it at all? Because he's such a great fit. Does it change it, your perspective at all, to know that he was sort of just the last guy there and then Denver gets him?
I think probably if you're coming from the perspective of Denver, you think that even if you reach out to somebody that is thought to be a top flight free agent, you think you probably won't get access to. So I'm not that surprised that maybe Denver was like, well, he's going to get signed. And then they're like, he's not? Oh my God, yes, please. I'm obviously shocked by that revelation. Like, I don't, and particularly at the number that Denver got him at, like, there's a lot of looking at this like Bruce Brown contract, especially when you see like how many terrible contracts get handed out in the NBA, that D'Angelo Russell is a max level player, like that these guys, like there's something about Bruce Brown's game that I just think would translate to any team, because a lot of his play is like predicated on hustle, but like clearly this is the best situation he could have found himself in. I'm very surprised by that.
Well, he revealed why he didn't get a lot of offers. It's because in Brooklyn, he was playing such a weird role. He was like Draymond Green kind of in Brooklyn. He was setting screens and like rolling to the rim. And a big part of like his season has been he gets to play guard again. And like, that's why he loves it here so much. He gets to play his natural position. But he said today that like, he told his agent, like, I'm going to get effed in free agency because this is how teams view me. They view me as the Brooklyn, like, I'm 6'3", but I'm a big man. And that's kind of hard for a lot of teams to fit into their system. So he said today, like, he saw it coming and he actually wasn't that surprised, but, it was obviously the best move of his career to come here.
Yeah. I'm not so surprised either, just because, I mean, one thing people don't realize about Bruce is that he is small. Like, I think people think of him as this big guy. I think he's like 6'2", 6'3", just when I'm like looking at him, you know, trying to measure him up. So he is a little bit small. And then to your point, people just didn't think he was a guard. He's a small, undersized forward or guy that plays big, but that's like a utility pitcher. You know, that's not a guy you could count on. It's just, we got to throw our changeup guy out there for two batters and then we'll pull him. That's kind of what I think people viewed him as. And then, of course, he comes here and does everything, does all of this stuff. And now he's... Honestly, I did this on Locked On NBA for today's show. Whose stock has risen the most? He made my list of guys whose stock has risen the most in the playoffs so far.
Yeah. I mean, Denver has a limit of what they can go to sign him. I think it's like 4 years, 40 something million.
Yeah.
He's getting more than that.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, and he's going to cash in for sure. I'd be pretty shocked if he's back on the Nuggets next year. He says he hasn't thought about it at all. And I actually kind of believe him.
I believe him too. And he was asked a question today that I think the questioner changed up what he meant because Bruce got so mad. Because he asked him something about, like, you know, have you thought about free agency, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what? No. And he's like, no, I mean last year. He's like, oh, last year's free
agency. He did say that Malone at practice today. Michael Malone at practice today asked him what his contract is for next year, though.
I love this idea of Malone not knowing. I mean, he might not, honestly.
You're under contract here next year, right, Bruce? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to take that player option, right?
We'll run it back next year, right?
You're good with the player option. So anyway, I just thought that was a really interesting one to give some light on it. By the way, you know, I had heard this years back about Aaron Gordon, too. We all think about Aaron Gordon as the perfect piece, you know, to come in. I think he is. But I think at the time, there's this, like, sense of a roster being like, oh, the team just knew Nikola was the guy. Then they just knew Murray was the guy. They knew they had a good feeling about all of it. But I think even with Aaron Gordon, it was a backup choice to Jeremy Grant, first and foremost.
Right.
And then secondly, when it happened, it was a very much, this could break right, this could break not. We think he's good, but I don't know. It wasn't a slam dunk where everybody just knew it was going to work out. It ended up working out perfectly, but that's roster construction.
Yeah.
You get some lucky breaks.
Bruce, also from Boston.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Like, he grew up a Celtics fan, but then he went to Miami. So he's got connections to both.
He went to University of Miami. By the way, Eric, do you think you're professional basketball player, lifelong Nuggets fan, you make it to the finals and you have to go against the Denver Nuggets, would it affect you in any way, do you think?
What do you mean? Like,
would it make it weird for you, or you're like, I've got to beat the Nuggets to win my first title for the Lakers? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think you would just be like, I've got to beat Jokic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It becomes personal at that. Yeah. These guys are all just personal.
Yeah, they don't care about the meanings of the teams at that level.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But it is an interesting storyline. Let's take our first break, though, and we'll get to some more notes from Denver Nuggets practice on the other side. There was another lightning. Guys, I think we got hit by lightning just now. Let us know in the comments. Somebody leave a comment saying that you can hear us. We're pretty sure we got struck by lightning.
Might happen again.
By account of...
If we didn't get struck, just the power... Transformer got hit.
Yeah, something close to us. Lights went out, loud thunder.
Okay,
we're back. Okay. All right, we are back. Hey, let's go. We're alive, baby.
Patio season at Illegal Pete's.
Get on up there, buddy. Maybe like that sun. Yeah,
it's also indoor season, just FYI.
Yeah, this episode of the DNVR Nuggets podcast brought to you by Illegal Pete's. Spring is here, patio beers are here. Kick off the spring season, maybe not this moment, with a house beer bucket for you and your whole crew. 5 refreshing 16-ounce beers for $15. Doesn't get much better than that. Come soak up the sun with a loaded burrito and a crisp beer. Patio of any Illegal Pete's location in maybe like 2 hours. 2 hours from now.
Yeah, don't rush over there. Right?
Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. Also, be sure to check out the Game Time app. Tickets for the finals, I saw, are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
What do we get into here?
We got a comma in most people's.
Really?
Yeah, prices with a comma. Okay. I can tell you, though, that Game Time does have these last-minute price drops. They will have them, you know, for the finals. They have them for every game. So if you still want to hang on some hope of getting a ticket, it's probably going to be through Game Time. Use the code DNVR for $20 off. Create an account.
Why did that comma?
Yeah, create an account. Redeem code DNVR for $20 off. It's not going to put a huge...
I was going to say, hold on. So you can get a courtside seat for $22,335.
Minus 20 bucks.
$20 off
$22,315 with the discount.
Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use the code DNVR. $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Download the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
There you go. You guys been seeing all these like Twitter Nuggets follow trains?
The follow train.
Yeah. Man. Everybody getting down on the follow train. It's kind of cool to see, man. Oh, look at this. Nuggets Nation, man. We're shining.
Yeah, man. Well,
dude, the spotlight's on us and we're shining.
It's just like it's more like we're out from under the bridge.
<You know? laughs> We're bridge and tunnel people. Yeah. No, coming
we're,
out.
No, we're just like gutter trolls. And now we're like, the sun is out. We're like, coming out.
Turn off the lights. They're too bright. All right, Harrison, what else do you take away from this media availability today?
Michael Malone had some great comments. First of all, he was talking about the plane ride back. And he says, like, it was a party on the plane. Like, guys were hyped. The back of the plane especially. He said he didn't go to the back of the plane, but there was some shit going on back there, apparently.
Dude, Michael Malone is so in his bag, man. I'm telling you, he's so good.
He's where he's always supposed to have been, man.
I know. Yeah. It actually
But he true. Did say that he watched clips of where the Nuggets messed up in the fourth quarter of game four on the plane back. Not in the back of the plane. Yeah, that was in the front of the plane. We were just watching those.
Does he have a new defensive strategy to play against LeBron or something?
He did talk about the final possession, and he went back and talked about the technical foul he picked up. And he said that, yeah, I picked that up on purpose. I just didn't like where that thing was going. And he said most of the technical fouls he picks up are on purpose, which, you know.
It's because he clearly knows the magic word. We saw him mouth it.
Yeah, he knows when to get one and how to get one. And then he was talking about the final play and said, all of us were somewhat stunned that the buzzer went off and there was no whistle.
I count me amongst those as well.
You know what? We didn't talk about that piece of this, but you're right. That was part of the end of that game, was you couldn't quite tell. Was there a foul? Is it clean? Is it the buzzer over? Whatever. It was a little bit ambiguous.
Yeah. And then he goes, then it was just like, holy shit, we won.
Yeah. As soon as Jokic doubled over, I was like, oh my God.
To put his mouth guard in his
sock. Yeah. Like as soon as he bent out, like that truly, like that was for me like, oh my God, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. Michael Malone also coined the three-pointer by Nikola Jokic, the Sombor sling.
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean like
I also don't know if that needs a name.
Yeah, I don't think it does. Just the thing is like if it was like a one-time thing, like, oh my God, remember that? But he's got so many of those.
Yeah, and there was 3 minutes left in the game. Yeah, like, man, it was a big shot.
It is the shot now of the Jokic era, right?
I mean, for me, the right Sombor now. Shuffle in the Serbia-Greece game. But if you mean Nuggets.
But it's just right now. Like, this is, you know.
I know, like he's going to have another one in the finals. He's going to have another one.
Is this bigger than the Game 7 one over Gobert? In terms of that one was more meaningful because if they lose the series.
And that was also like the game winner in, you know, the final possession kind of.
Yeah.
That shot he had against Philly where he fell down and like, you know.
Regular season.
I just mean as far as like shots I think of when I close my eyes. This is obviously up there, but I don't, you know, like I want to make, I don't want to pin all of our like, memories already on this last series. Like we still got another one.
It's a great take.
Yeah, like for as well as Jokic played and for as captivating of shots that he hit, I feel like he's just gonna one up himself in the finals. Yeah,
exactly.
Somebody did call it the Sombor sweep.
Yeah,
which are we just gonna put Sombor in front of everything? Yeah. I'm fine. It's the Sombor sweep.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of words that start with the letter S, so it makes it kind of easy.
From the Sombor savior, absolutely.
Dude, when he hit the Sombor sling to get the Sombor sweep, that was so sweet.
I know. I hit my Sombor parlay.
Let's see what else here. Jamal Murray was talking about the Nuggets defense, and he said the Nuggets are playing defense and they're playing with intent. That was his word of the day. Man. Intent.
Yes. Intent. He could also say, he could have also just said intentionality. Like this is what we were saying all year about the Denver Nuggets is that they, all of the things that were like, man, they can't play defense, blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't, all of their shortcomings were literally 100% effort based. Yeah. It was just motivation. Yeah. Were they able to conjure the motivation to shuffle their feet to, and I think it starts with Jokic.
But I just wanted to say one thing. I don't think it's motivation though. I don't think you can sprint a marathon. I think it's a calculated, like if we played like this, we wouldn't make it out of December.
Motivation. I mean, you're right. It is. It's smart, and strategic, it's honestly, it's like the reason that people don't like the NBA is because like a Tuesday right. in January, you're like, do these guys care? And it turns out usually the answer is no, sadly.
They just care like 70%.
Yeah, just not as much as we do.
And I also think like now the narrative is, oh, the Nuggets took off the whole second half of the season. It was really just like 2 weeks,
I love that you brought this up.
It was really just like 2.5 weeks.
It was hellish.
But it was after they were sprinting the marathon for most of the season.
And it was directly after it was claimed that it was racist to choose to go for Jokic. And then he personally withdrew and the team followed.
Right.
I will say though, to your point, Harrison, it is funny how these things grow and grow. Because I do hear some people, they didn't try at all for the back half of the season. And you're like, all right, guys, come on, man.
Yeah, it's not exactly what happened.
I know.
They stopped trying in January. You're like, God, no, they didn't.
That's why nobody's covering them, actually. They stopped trying.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're like, there was like 8 games where they kind of took
like,
it up.
Yeah, and then you're like, the Lakers didn't try all year. The Warriors.
No. It's an inspiration story. Oh. They started 2-10 and they overcame
The Warriors won like 2 games on the road the entire season.
Right.
So true.
So annoying.
And then, you know, it's tough to ask these guys questions about the finals because they don't know what team they're playing yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought
pretty important.
Jamal, like, he said the Celtics would be like, they're a really good team, be a good matchup. But then I like what he had to say about the Heat. He said they play very hard and that alone can win you a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like that is the Heat, man. Like they just play hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Really not a whole lot of spice. I do think that it is kind of funny that this is the halfway point. Oh, one little anecdote. This is a Harrison Wind anecdote. I can't believe you don't remember it. Do you want to tell it?
What's that?
They had to change the set today.
Oh, yeah.
They had to change the set because, Eric, they always put up their Denver Nuggets backdrop for the set. But for the finals, you have to have the finals backdrop.
You know, the specific finals logo.
Yes, of course.
Presented by somebody.
So they had to make a quick audible at the very end, throw it up on the TVs because I don't even know if they have the finals
drape
yet.
They didn't have a banner yet.
They don't even have it. So they had to like makeshift a one with television.
This is like a really weird time to talk to the team. I can't, because you have to think about the finals in the abstract, like the concept of the finals. Not knowing the opponent. Pretty big deal.
Oh, and this is actually probably one of my big takeaways is I'm not sure why the Nuggets did media. Now, I'm never going to complain. I love that they did it. I'm glad that we got to hear from the team, and it was useful. But it is one of the – and nobody's in town. That's the other thing is I kept
thinking. It was just the Denver people.
It's just the Denver people. So, I mean, shouts to the Nuggets organization. Shouts to Michael Malone and all the guys because I do appreciate the fact that we got to be there, the Denver media, for a day. But it did feel a little bit like a I don't know what it is. Like,
do you think Michael Malone just wanted to drop the Sombor sling?
Maybe.
Or like maybe they're there so they don't get fined.
Michael Malone's just been thinking about a name for that shot for the last 4 days. Like, I got to put this into the ether.
I can't sleep on this any longer.
I've got it.
Kale, pull up Alex English's tweet here because I just saw George Karl, man. We got to talk about this. George Karl has taken it up on. So you guys don't know, George Karl and the Denver Nuggets have an icy relationship. You know, he was fired when he was coach of the year. Him and Josh Kroenke, I think, have had a falling out. And to date, I don't believe the Nuggets have ever honored George Karl as the second winningest coach and still second winningest coach in Nuggets history. They've never had the moment where it's like, everybody welcome George Karl. Let's all honor him, this or that. They've never done that. I don't know what that relationship is now. I will say George, we all know him from, you know, he likes to stir the pot a little. Well, he is right now personally inviting former Nuggets to the building.
He's like taking it upon himself.
You're like, George, you're not even allowed.
That's the
like inviting people to somebody else's party.
This is what I'm saying is George is doing the thing that the Nuggets should have been in front of, but as an organization just never seemed to be. This is why they retired Fat Lever's jersey 30 years after he was done playing or whatever. Like the Nuggets always seem to be late on these types of things. But nonetheless, George, I don't know how much of this is on purpose or him being cheeky or what, but him just kind of taking it on to be the guy doing this, who is the last guy I think the organization would want to be the one doing this. But
pushing the issue.
But it's working because Wilson Chandler just wrote to Wilson Chandler saying, hey, are you coming out for this? And Wilson Chandler replied, if all goes according to plan, I'll be there Thursday, meaning if Nuggets play Heat on Thursday, he'll be in Denver. Alex English just tweeted, if you could pull it up, hopefully the team invites us all out. I love this, man. I love this. I don't love the way it's coming about, but I do love the idea that, hey, man, the this is how you build a franchise that isn't just little like blips that doesn't connect. You bring them all together to celebrate your wins.
Yeah. This is what we do too. You put side pressure on the Nuggets organization
right.
yep. that is clearly yep. constructed in such a way that it's not able to move. It's clearly like you just get the sense that it's like a big tanker. And it's there's so many departments and so many people, and it's like you can't do anything, and there's no cohesion, there's no big vision, or if there is, it's like really hard to get it pushed through because they just kind of do everything like your cookie cutter. You do this, then this, then this. There are, and it really is on Josh Kroenke. Frankly, he's got to be like really set the tone for this and make this an important thing throughout the organization to like really try to raise the idea of the Nuggets and like really honor the history of the Nuggets, because people honestly look at the Nuggets like a 50-year-old expansion team.
Yeah, it's so true.
They've been around forever, but it's like, can you believe the Nuggets are in it? We're like, they're the Marlins and you know whatever, just like some squad that just showed up. Like, can you believe the Kraken are here? It's like, dude, they've been around for 50 years. Like, there's been so many things. That's what I heard a lot about sort of the Melo thing, when people were like, Melo didn't make basketball relevant in Denver. He just like made
He revived it.
He revived it in that time, but that was like one of like 18 different eras.
Right.
And so it's great. The other thing I just quickly that I love so much about George Karl is that George Karl is the only person I know that's like really stared death in the face.
Yep.
And then has made it his mission to just talk shit since then. Like he knows,
stopped giving any know,
like he's like knows what he knows what life's all about, the preciousness he's of like, life.
You and only live
like,
once.
And he knows like how important it is to tell Laker fans to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I will say though, like this is something that needs to happen. Like there needs to be Nuggets players on players on players at the finals.
This is
when I was in LA for the Lakers game, Pau Gasol was at game four. And they
in a jacket that said Pau Gasol?
In like this awesome leather jacket that had 16 and Gasol on it. And so he was like making the rounds, doing little interviews. They did a nice video montage for him. There was also like other Laker greats at the game too, but that's something that needs to happen for these final games. Like I want the Wilson Chandler era Nuggets. Yes. Like I want George. I want the past Nuggets. Yes. Alex English, Dan Issel. Like I want all these guys there.
Yes, and it is. It's like why your fan base is not loud, not boisterous. Because the franchise itself has been sort of apologetic about its entire experience. Like it's like,
great take.
Because there has not, we've talked about this a lot, but there's not been a through line for long periods in the Nuggets. For they were a wayward franchise for a while. Like it was not at all unthinkable that they would leave Denver, Colorado, because they just had absolutely uninterested ownership that just found themselves in the stewardship of this team that didn't have a lot. I mean, they had proud moments, but it wasn't, it's never been something that the city of Denver has led with. But it is funny, like online, people are like, oh, what the hell are these Nuggets fans? It's like, bro, we're Broncos fans. The city of Denver is very familiar with winning championships.
You're right.
We're not, this isn't Oklahoma City or some like weird, like little place. It's like, just happy to be here. Like, this is a town of very vibrant sports culture. People take their sports very seriously here. It's just, unfortunately, the Nuggets have never given you a reason to be, to really put your chest into it. If you're a person that like, you know, has limited time and can only, you know, focus on one sport at a time. It's hard to focus on both hockey and basketball when they're both happening at the same time, because it's every other day. So people pick one oftentimes and they go with the one that's won championships. Like the Nuggets have always been here, and now people are, it's now becoming more about Denver. Like people have pride in Denver. Yeah. And like, this is like, can Denver win this? Fuck yes, Denver can win this. Like, we win shit all the time. Like,
by the way, Eric, the inverse is true too. When people are saying that the Nuggets are boring or this or that, I can't help but hear a little bit of Denver's boring. Like, this is part of it. Is they're
flyover
kind of
stuff.
Flyover state. Like, why are we going to go there?
It's so cold. Stephen A.
I give him credit because he actually breaks the fourth wall on a lot of these. Remember when he used to be like, I don't want to go to Oklahoma City for the finals. I want to go to Miami or whatever. Yes. Like, he always will do that. But that's the subtext, in my opinion, of some of the stuff that people are saying, is they don't want to have to go to Denver to do this.
See, it will be brought up on this show every now and again. My living in Boston is one of my shortcomings. But I will tell you, like...
we forgive you.
Yeah, I will tell you, like, living amongst people on the East Coast, like, that concept of, like, the country is the plane ride between New York and LA.
Right.
And that's like all of this stuff.
It's underneath. Like after Chicago, there's just nothing until
they don't even,
LA.
It's not even Chicago. Like they don't even look at Chicago as a place. It truly is New York and LA. The people that, you know, they, when they're like, all, oh, where we're going to go? LA? Or let's go to New York. Like, where are you going to live? You got to choose two places to choose from. and there's just so much about, you know, and like, to be fair, if you can possibly be fair about that, like there was a long time where the middle of the country was a bit of a cultural wasteland. But because of the way that economics work and the way that information now flows, like everywhere is aware of everything. Like the culture that's cropped up organically in the middle of the country, Denver specifically, is like not only unique, it's like a melting pot of like so many different ideas, but it's like new and young and interesting and like is actually going to be able to set trends that people, you know, are looking to. It's just a new paradigm that they're not prepared for. And, you know, the greatest thing about this is that people are forced to look this direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of the cool thing about Denver being in the spotlight. And it's cool. It's cool for us at the moment. It's cool for the Nuggets as players, I think, at the moment. It's cool for the city of Denver. And hell, I really hope, you guys know me, I love the rain. I love this rain. I would take it every day, but I hope that here as we get into the finals, I hope everybody gets to come to Denver and see it in its best light.
Because nope. You know everybody's going to want to complain about it the second they get here.
That's so true, but I'm telling you. Yeah, the drive from the airport, the altitude, like we're going to play all the hits here. It's like all
we're going to be like, I thought I was going to land on the top of a mountain. I'm out in the middle of this.
And it was 45 minutes to get to my hotel. Right, already hear Windhorse doing this one.
Smelled like Purina dog food.
Yeah, but I can't wait. Honestly, I will hope that everybody gets to see it. People have never descended on Denver, Colorado in June for NBA coverage. So never. It's going to be exciting because June, you know, is a great month to be in Colorado. So great. I'm excited for it. Let's take a break. Let's open up the mailbag.
When you get hurt, Backus & Schenker is here to help. Backus & Schenker, they win for Colorado families. They've been doing it for more than 25 years. And the coolest thing about Backus & Schenker, you don't pay them any money until they win your case.
Let's go.
No upfront fees, no fees while they work on your case. You only pay them when they win you money. They've won over $1 billion for their clients. It's a lot of money, $1 billion. Even more locations, serving all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They got 30 lawyers, 100 people on staff. Backus & Schenker, they help with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrian trucks, they even help you if you're injured at work. Give them a call, 222-2222, to find out if you have a case for free. Backus & Schenker, they win.
Let's go.
Also, Shady Rays.
What?
Again, maybe in a couple hours, break out your Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last.
Unless maybe, you know, it also does keep water out of your eyes.
Oh, there you go. Our friends at Shady Rays, they've got you covered for the warm weather ahead. With premium polarized shades at an affordable price, right now they've got a Memorial Day sale going on. It's live right now, ShadyRays.com. It's live through the 31st. Get 35% off all sunglasses.
Let's go.
Every single pair of sunglasses on their website, ShadyRays.com. You get 35% off all of them. Try yourself the shades rated 5 stars by 250,000 people, more than 250,000 people. As always, you can use the code DNVR. Get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses, ShadyRays.com.
There you go.
I just looked at the weather. It's going to be like this every day for the foreseeable future, which I was like, oh, man. But then I'm like, oh, right. Like, this is what it does in Colorado.
Yeah.
It rains every afternoon.
People are going to complain so much. Rains. That's going to actually be like the biggest storyline from the national media.
But in the meantime, Denver, Colorado is going to look like a green pastoral paradise.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think we have to do another DraftKings pick of the week, too. Get two in for this week.
I love this one because you know what you have to pick.
Celtics heat.
Game 6. Where's he going,
I'm
going
to pick this with my heart. I'm going to take Miami. Yeah, I need Miami to wrap up this series.
They're going to.
They're plus 2.5-point underdogs, so I'm going to take them on that and the money line.
How does it go, D-Lan? What's the vision?
I called this macro pattern before when we were talking about sweep. I'm like, there's no goddamn way.
You picked it before the series began?
No. After the 3 games, we were talking about the last one, whether or not it was going to be a sweep. I was like, no chance. They're going to win, and they're going to win the next one.
To sweep.
Those teams are too similar. They're the same team in a lot of ways. Like, just two of the same teams, like, with very similar strength and weaknesses. But Jimmy Butler's going to have a big, big game. He was, like, kind of absent. I told you the other day, like, Jimmy Butler has 2 50-point games in him per series, but not four.
Two 50-point?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Two big ones, you mean.
Yeah, two Jimmy Butler games. 50-point
games in
him. Was the Jimmy Butler.
Like, we're going to have, like, another big Jimmy game.
Are you worried about
it? I hope so. It's a DraftKings pick of the week.
Didn't he roll his ankle or something, though, in, like, what was it, game four? I think there's a little bit of...
No, he'll be fine.
We're talking about big face
Gabe
Jimmy.
Gabe Vincent is out. You know,
are we sure he's out?
No. I mean, he was out game five, but we don't know for the next one.
I bet he'll play.
All right. You guys sent in your mailbag questions. I think we probably have a Celtics Heat one coming up, but let's get to these, Kale. Let's plow through them. What do we got? Flo, friend of the show. Somebody want to read this?
I gotta make it a little bigger, I think.
Yeah, it says, how would you rank Rudy, Ayton, and AD based on their defensive performances Jokic in these playoffs? You can't put them all last. Yes, we can.
I have strong take. Well, come on.
I think number one might be Rudy.
Rudy had the best.
No way.
And Ayton had the worst.
Yeah, the best. Rudy had the best. Like, the Timberwolves defended Jokic better than the Suns and Lakers.
Cold and take.
Ayton had the worst.
Cold take. Here's the thing, man, and this is going to be lost to history. I think that's just a fact.
Yeah.
I think that's just a fact, man. This is the thing that pisses me off about. There's one thing that kind of pisses me off. And I was talking to Matt Moore about it today at the arena, and he said, I'm not letting him off the hook. People have not made a big enough deal about the fact that Anthony Davis was hopeless in the series against Jokic.
He lasted like three quarters.
And then never again.
Never again.
And if it was like three quarters of game one, it was like, not him.
We can't do this matchup again.
They put LeBron was like, I got him, man. You got to get over there and help me out and help side, because They went to Tristan Thompson.
ESPN analyst Tristan Thompson.
But hold on a second, Aaron. This is why it bothers me. What kind of story would it have been if this was reversed?
It would have been Anthony Davis is the best big man, maybe of all time.
And what is Jokic?
Jokic is a traffic cone out there. They're going to put a spam that pick and roll.
And again, there is something strategic about, hey, he's better as an off-ball player than on-ball, so this is that. So I'm not trying to go full, like, distort the story here. But it is something to say, as great as Anthony Davis was, he was closer to Ayton in this one than he was to like what people projected him to be defensively.
The talk entering the series was Anthony Davis is the best defensive player in the NBA.
In the NBA.
Clearly the best defensive big. Insane. This is going to be the biggest test Nikola Jokic has ever faced.
If you want to know how comfortable the Nuggets
averaging
were
attacking
Anthony Davis. That Michael Malone, after one game, started talking shit about the Rui adjustment. God, that's how confident he was that this was like, no, I'll poke the bear. I don't care. They can't guard us.
You know, like, he's like, I'll stab the bear.
I'll stab the bear.
Yo, we got to talk about Jamal's quote today, too, when he just said, I don't think it worked.
Jamal, he was asked about the Rui adjustment. And he kind of wanted to talk some shit.
Yeah.
But then at the end of it, just said, it didn't work.
It was pretty great. I will say, you know the thing about the Rui adjustment? There's so many other adjustments that were more meaningful in that series. The Rui one just like fits the media can talk about that one the easiest, and it has a name, the Rui adjustment. I just have to say the Rui adjustment. And that's the one, and I think that was even part of it. One was, bro, did you not see how easily we scored on them in this series? But then there's also one of like, the Rui adjustment. Yes, you guys don't want to talk about, you know, any of the other thing, but Jared Vanderbilt starting and then Tristan.
It really is. Right. I mean, it was like, the reason is because people don't typically actually understand what's happening. Yeah. As soon as you have a name to latch on.
The Rui adjustment.
Yeah, what about that Rui adjustment? Put him on the...
Drop.
Yeah.
Or zone or whatever.
Are they gonna, are you going to spam the pick and roll so put Jokic in drop? Or are they going to go under the screens? All this,
Did we answer the question, though? I don't even remember.
Rudy as the toughest.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It goes correct.
Next up, probably Anthony Davis. Then DeAndre Ayton.
Absolutely.
DeAndre Ayton was just kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. DeAndre Ayton got defended out of Arizona.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
To be honest, if we're being absolute, we want to keep it 100-100, Jock Landale, then DeAndre Ayton.
Jock Landale may be number one.
Dude. Easily. Actually. He's the only guy that gave any resistance to Jokic at all.
Yeah, maybe.
I love it. They're just going to be so spy. Honestly, if we're actually keeping it 100, LeBron James, number one. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, LeBron guarded him the best, and he did a very admirable job, you know, guarding out of position. All right, what else?
What do we got? Molly, ultimate homie. I couldn't wait any longer and bought flights to Den, assuming a home court advantage. What do I do if Boston wins?
Well, you come to the bar, first of all.
Yeah,
first off, but you, I will say,
you, you use that time to come to Brendan Vogt's wake and funeral. He's jumped off a building by then.
He might not be on the show until he closes the series out.
Man, I got to say, though, that is quite the decision, buying it before you know. That's
dude,
like
I know people in the Denver media who already bought flights to Miami.
Really?
For games 3 and 4.
Yeah. I love it.
I won't reveal them.
But nonetheless, Molly, but we would welcome you here at the bar, yeah, of course.
Oh, please.
Bar's going to be pretty incredible as well. What else we got?
Kyle, the Baron of Pizza, says, wow. What scares you most about either team we may face when matching up with the Nuggets?
This is a good one.
Yeah. The Heat don't really scare me, like, at all.
Yeah.
They really don't. I mean, I got a ton of respect for Jimmy Butler. They're dropping like flies kind of already, yep. And they just are not the class of team that the Nuggets are. Boston actually scares me a little bit. They have a lot of defenders, you know, just in terms of guys they can throw at, you know, the Nuggets starting five, from, you know, Marcus Smart, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And then, you know, talking about guys who have defended Jokic the best this series, they have as good of a blueprint as I think you could have for defending Jokic, Al Horford and Robert Williams.
I agree.
So they do. Boston scares me a little bit just from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a situation where Marcus Smart or Derek White will be on Jamal Murray the entire time, trying to wear him out. Their outside shooting is the problem with both of these teams is that they're so goddamn inconsistent. It's hard to really focus in on like, well, this is what they do. It's like, well, every other game they're going to get as hot as the sun and then they're going to be just dreadful the next game. So you just got to make sure you definitely win the games where they're not on. It's just, for me, when I look at I just have a hard time with Matt, even though, as you say, like they have sort of a 1-2 punch that they can Rui adjustment Jokic a little bit.
It's not Rui Hachimura. Yeah. It's Al Horford, one of the best defensive centers of a generation.
Yeah, but like on Jokic, like he's just so much bigger. The thing is, Jokic is a goddamn monster.
Yeah, he's huge.
He is.
And he's so much bigger than any
of the centers.
He might
be the strongest player in the NBA.
He's up there. I don't know if he is, though. I think you've got like Drummond's, you know, Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is always the guy.
Drummond is to me.
Steven Adams, maybe. Drummond's
like 320, man. He's an enormous person, and he is a super athlete.
Yeah. Steven Adams, I'll give you.
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think.
The shooting part is huge.
It's really the outside shot.
The thing
with Boston, the rap on them is if they shoot, 40% or above, they win.
Yeah.
Every game.
It's like, oh, man, how do we beat Devin Booker when he's shooting 80%? It's like, you wait till he isn't.
Well, as a lot of people say, D-line, it's a make or miss league.
I've never heard that before.
Well, I think, Eric, what you're getting at is the math problem.
It's a math problem.
No, this is the thing.
Zero points worth less than 2 points.
But honestly, the Celtics have a math problem in that they're so dependent on it. One of the things I love about the math problem from round two was that Denver ended up making fewer.
Yeah, they were losing the math problem at the end of the series.
But this is one of the things about the Denver Nuggets in this playoffs, and I think it's part of the reasons that people are now, so that we're getting whiplash from the people like jumping on the bandwagon, is they can win without that. In a way that you're saying these other teams can lose the math problem and win the game. Yeah. Exactly. So that's part of it. I will say, if you talk about underreported stories, Denver has been mentally tougher in every series than their opponent, and they have worn their opponents down. I think Miami is their equal in mental toughness. I think they're lesser in skill. I'm with you, Wind, where I just love this matchup, and I don't want to be too cocky about it, because that's a team that has been feasting on people that got too cocky, honestly. That's part of it. But nonetheless, I think Denver's matchup with them is very, very good. But they are a team that I don't think Denver's going to mentally break the way they have some of these other teams. That's a team that is like, they're made for a street fight. And then if you go to the other side and go to Boston, I don't know that Denver's going to wear them out the same way that they've worn out some of these other guys. You think about Anthony Davis, worn down. And even Booker and KD have gotten worn down in ways that I don't think Tatum and Brown will. One, they're young. And two, they just don't play with the usage of a Booker, where Booker had to bring it up.
You have more days off in between games in the finals.
You have more days off. So I just think that, I don't think that's the single reason the Nuggets are where they are, but it is part of the story that's underappreciated, in my opinion. This is why when people say that was a sweep of the Lakers, but boy, that was a close sweep, man. Any game, I go, they're right. They're right. Any game could have flipped, but the cost for the Lakers to make it that close would have left them hopeless in games five, like, six, or seven.
The Nuggets would have won by 40 points in game five.
And, yeah, I agree.
In Denver, and 48 hours after a game four where LeBron played the entire game.
And if the Lakers would have flipped two of those games and it was 2-2, there's no way Anthony Davis was going to have the reserves in the tank as the series went on. He didn't have them in game four. I mean, game four, he could barely get up and down the court.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. But I don't think this will be the case in the finals. I think both teams will, you're not going to wear them out that same way, and you're not going to break them mentally.
The one thing I will say is that Miami has looked kind of broken the last couple games. Like,
they might have lost their mojo.
They might have lost their mojo a little bit. And I think that they can still, and I do expect for them to get over the finish line, but they're not like as gritty as maybe they seemed early on.
They have a little 2007 Rockies in them where they rode a wave. Yeah, totally. And the moment the wave was gone, you're like, oh.
Well, the funny thing about the Heat is like, man, can you believe this came in from the playoff or the play-in? And this is such a story. Like, they were in the finals like last year. Like,
yeah,
like they were two years ago. They were in the conference finals last year. I mean, like, they just took the season off.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good. And you know what's funny is that's what everybody said was the Lakers and Warriors. But they never said that about
the
Heat.
They never said that about the Heat, but it's the exact same thing.
You're so right. Today we suck at covering this league. So not stupid. We, the national media. Terrible. All right, what else we got in the mailbag?
Let's see. Mile High says,
this one can't be answered.
Who will be the biggest X factor?
Well, we don't know
the opponent.
Yeah, the opponent.
It's the biggest X factor.
Nikola Jokic.
Honestly, it's different for each series, and I think we got that one. Let's wait. What else we got, Kale?
Michael Malone will be a big X factor.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Jokic. Josh Middleton, our homie, says, what's the path to re-signing Bruce Brown?
There's only one.
Circumventing the salary
door? Nope. There's only one, and it is whether or not Bruce Brown wants to be back on a discount or take a risk and do a 1+1 where he can sign next year for a big
right. Beat. The Nuggets could give him a lot of money in the summer of 2024.
We can't rule it out, guys. We can't rule it out. I'm just saying it's not in Denver's hands. It's in Bruce's.
Yeah.
And I doubt he would do it.
Why would you? I mean, come on. You gotta strike when the iron's hot.
We don't know Bruce well enough to say definitively.
I mean, it seems like he kind of likes Denver.
He loves
just
Denver.
Just a little bit.
Well, I would say Bruce Brown is all-star, first-team Hall of Fame panderer.
The guy is going to Rockies games.
I love
when those games are unwatchable.
I'll say this to anybody. If anybody ever wants to pander to me, I will respond delightfully. I'll be like, you wore a shirt just because I made it? I love that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like Bruce Brown, like just another thing. Like, I love the idea that Bruce Brown is like talking about his free agency. He's like, I was still around on the second day. And DeAndre Jordan's like, can't relate, bro.
Can't relate.
I was signed the first 11 seconds.
I'm a day oneer.
Everybody, first 11
seconds.
You're a
seconds. Day tour.
I love it. Let's get one more in before our last break.
MPJ 2022-23 All-Star says, that's didn't happen. How likely do you think Jamal Murray is to win finals MVP over Jokic? I've got a bet on it, but it's quite small.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably pretty small. I mean, Western Conference Finals MVP was unanimous for Jokic.
Yeah.
And Murray was awesome.
And Murray was awesome.
And I felt like going into that game four, it could have gone to either of them. Just like who had the better game, but maybe I was wrong on that because Jokic did win it unanimously. I mean, if the equivalent of the Rui adjustment works on Jokic, Murray could have a path to it.
Yeah, couldn't.
And against Boston.
Let's do our last ad break here, and then on the other side, we'll wrap up with some final questions, and then we'll go off into our weekend.
Pins and Aces is the official golf apparel partner of DNVR. I wore a Pins and Aces hat on the show yesterday. Got a lot of compliments on it.
We have a Pins and Aces DNVR collaboration that we'll be dropping on Monday, Memorial Day. We also had a custom Pins and Aces PH&X. Nobody wants to hear this, but we had a custom polo that went out with a tournament they did out there, and they look phenomenal.
I did see that polo. It was fire. But Pins and Aces, they've got tons of awesome gear. They've got polos. They got golf bags. They have the beer sleeve. They also have the liquor stick, which, if you don't know, is a stick of liquor that looks like a golf club that you just put in your bag.
Well, it's also mechanized, and you push a button, it goes,
yeah, and it's like a spout,
yeah,
it's a motorized spout of liquor.
Yeah, dude.
Coming out of your golf bag.
Like, who pours liquor on the golf course? I have mine dispensed to me. Yes.
Check out pinsandaces.com. Use the code DNVR to get 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. They're family-owned golf and apparel business. They're based right here in Colorado. So you can actually also place an order on Pins and Aces, and if you're local, you can just go pick it up, which is really nice. You don't pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Pinsandaces.com, use the code DNVR, get 15% off your first order.
There we go. All right, let's get some last couple questions here. We got some
super chats. Okay. Super chat. James Allen says, Nuggets looking like the new kids on the block. Oh, that's right. I'll be the Wahlberg one. Lakers invite the greats all the time. Let's change the culture more. Getting those guys in the building. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
I'm telling you, that'd be so cool, man. That'd be so cool.
I know, like Nuggets, like
David Thompson, that's the one I want to see.
Lean into your lineage.
Who's the one you want to see the most?
Melo would be big. Allen Iverson would be big.
Iverson?
David Thompson would be big.
Just dig the knife into Philly.
Iverson, he's come back before.
Nuggets jersey.
I would love to see.
He's the best big man in the NBA, man.
I would love to see Kenyon Martin. I would love to see anybody.
I want to see
George Carl
Carmelo Anthony in a Jokic jersey.
I do.
In a 15 Jokic jersey.
I'll tell you what, like if Anthony Carter wants to come and literally sit on the sideline.
Right where he threw the ball
out. Right where he threw the ball out. I will welcome him with open arms. Absolutely.
I think you might be tempting fate with another inbound pass there.
Oh, man.
I don't care, man.
For me, it's David Thompson, man. He represents the original Nuggets to me.
Yep.
And it would just be so cool. And then, of course, I don't think it'll happen because I think he's too old. But, you know, Doug Moe made the one trip here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind hearing from Doug Moe.
It'd be incredible.
Yeah.
He might be too old, though, guys.
Lean into your lineage, Nuggets, please. Or hire me, and I'll do it for you. Like, please. Steven, first super chat. Love you guys. Love the Hell Nuggets. Yeah. Love the journey. Bring on whomever. Time to shine. LFG. Also, what's the backstory of Vogt's vitriol with the Celtics / Tatum? I'll tell you what. He has a lot of East Coast baggage.
Yeah, he used to live on the East Coast.
He's from New Jersey, and all of the cities on the East Coast hate one another because they've been living in that part of the country the longest, and they're all like corroded. They have a lot, they've like had time to build and fall and build back up, and now like everything is covered in rust and anger.
Yeah.
And it just, everybody's mad all the time if you go to the East Coast, particularly if you go to a place like Boston or his beloved New Jersey that he hates. Like,
beloved.
You just, like, it truly, like, your whole life is about competition, and you just hate everybody that's not your city.
Yeah. He also, you know, he's a big Jokic guy. He literally moved here because he loved Jokic. And he is defensive of all the players that leapfrogged Jokic, even momentarily, now that Tatum's down here. But Tatum kind of was like,
yeah, but like,
who would you rather build around, Jokic or Tatum? And everyone's like, oh, Tatum for sure.
Yeah, but like, he should be going in heavy on Anthony Davis.
You're right. It's personal with Tatum for him. You're right.
Tatum is because it's in Boston, and New Jersey and Boston are just, it's a blood feud that we're in the middle of. Sorry about that, everybody. David Roth says, Jack White talked a bit about this, but basketball is the only sport where many players don't play when it matters most. How painful is it for them?
Like the guys on the bench?
Yeah, like because you have a full roster and then it gets whittled down to 7 or 8 guys.
I think he's just along for the ride right now and just kind of soaking it up and enjoying it.
Oh, of course. Jack White? I mean, yeah, he's a two-way player. He knew. But here's one thing I will say about Bruce today that I thought was great, because he was asked about this team in comparison to previous ones, and he's like, oh, the culture here is great. Like, the locker room is great. He said, I'll sit at my locker after games for like a half hour, just hanging out afterwards. He's like, it used to be game was over, shower and out the building as quickly as possible. Everybody's just going on. He's like, here we hang out and it feels more like a college team, which I thought was great. Yeah. We want to believe those things. We want to hear them. So it's nice when a player.
Yeah. But like, I feel like Jack White's perspective on this is different than say Zeke Nagy, who I'm sure is burning and yearning to get into the game. Like Jack White is like really happy to be here.
But he's
like,
in year one.
Vlatko Chanchar, I'm sure, is like, can I please see the floor? Like,
right.
Please.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll have to ask them.
Zeke is the only of that mold, though, I would say, because everybody else is either like maybe Vlatko, but everybody else is like Peyton Watson. He knows it's this is his gap year.
Yes, he's a rookie. Jack White's a rookie. Yeah. Colin Gillespie, I'd be surprised if he was mad he wasn't playing. He has
I don't think any of those guys are mad that they're not playing. Even Vlatko and Zeke, like, they're all about the goal, you know?
I think you're right, but I mean, at a certain point, you want to contribute.
Yeah, everybody wants to contribute. Yeah, for sure.
Scott Reba says, first super chat. God damn, we got a lot. Well, the follow train has hit the super chat.
A lot of virgins in the house tonight.
First super chat. And Kale's here too. Thanks for your coverage. I went to high school with Derek White, and he's always been a big Nugs fan. The C's make the finals. He'll face the dilemma of playing his favorite team growing up.
Yeah.
We know, dude. He's come to the bar. He knows RK personally.
He's come to the bar as a patron, like as a just on a night where he's like came to have a dinner and stuff.
I know. It, like, I didn't know much about Derek White until we played him against the Spurs, and he torched Jamal, and I hated Derek White, but now I love Derek White.
Yeah. Like, he's our guy,
also,
man.
Derek White. There was an opportunity for the Nuggets to draft him, and they passed on him, and he's been pissed about that.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Laking Ball.
You know who they drafted in 2017.
Well, you know, maybe we'll just print this out and mail it to Brendan. Yeah. Where is my number one Celtics hater? He's ducking that Laking Ball super chat. You can't hide forever. Let's go Celtics. We got the Celtics in seven. Beva.
So I don't really understand. He's a Celtics fan, but says Laking Ball.
What's the origin of the name Laking Ball?
Yeah, mystery man in the chat who always gives us money to talk.
Maybe
shit.
Yeah, dude. He's probably referencing one of those lakes they throw bodies in Boston after they murder them.
Oh, yeah.
Where they threw all that tea.
Maybe. Well, that was a bay. That was actually connected to the ocean.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's LA.
That's a harbor. Yeah.
We don't know. All right. Hit that outro music for us there, Kale. Everybody, what a fun week off we've had. Thanks, Nuggets.
Been loving it.
We did have some great shows this week. We had Christopher Dempsey on TDSP. We had Liv Moods in the house. We had Bomani Jones on the show. This was a really fun gap week. And then next week, when we return on Monday, by the way, on Memorial Day, we should know who we're playing. I mean, maybe it goes to seven. We'll find out.
Yeah. Is it game tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. And then,
God damn it.
I know, Saturday and then Monday. God, so we might not know. But, you know, next week everything gets sped up. We had some great guests this week. I think we're going to have a lot more next week. You're going to be really excited. And then after that, when people come into Denver, I'm excited for it, guys. Just getting started. Everybody enjoy your long weekend. Do us one last favor, though. Hit that like button.
Oh, let's go.
Smash it.